you take a block of the raw material. It's called chert. It has a particular type of break called a conchoidal fracture. That's a sort of well, if you've ever seen a BB hit a window and you see sort of that cone mm-hmm. that is created by the impact, okay. That's called a conchoidal fracture. And essentially what happens if you set out to create that cone at an angle to a material, what you can do is you can remove flat pieces of material off of the block, or you can more or less control the shape and the angle that the material is removed, and you remove a series of what we call flakes. The pieces that come off the block of raw material are called flakes, and then those are reduced further down to the intended product, in this case a projectile point.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that is this one made from chert?
Yes, these okay. are.
But you said that it's around here, but I believe you had told me that there's no chert in what we call Amsterdam. There's some chert up by Randall, to the west of us, Randall and Joost.
That's correct. In the town of Amsterdam, there's no at least bedrock source. Now, certainly, because there are other sources relatively nearby in the mm-hmm. regional sense, there's an opportunity in stream beds, river beds to find, and also on hillsides, to find some glacially deposited material. But these would be relatively isolated, single types of rocks.
So maybe in connection with several of these points, it was done elsewhere, I mean, brought in, if you will. I mean, they got the chert somewhere else.
Certainly, and it could have been from a variety of ways. Residents of this site in their normal round as they move from place to place to hunt fish, gather plants, mm-hmm. could have either picked it up or in contact with other people who traded it to them, who lived closer to a source. Or yes, it was actually a resource that was exchanged between groups of people.
Del Gould with us, archaeologist, the Lewis Berger Group. Let me give out the phone number if you have questions or comments for Del about the archaeological dig in Amsterdam. Not sure if anybody will call or we'll just be flooded with calls. I know there's a lot of interest in this. Our number is 684-0123. If I could just maybe, do call in if you want. He's right here. Maybe if we can deal with the rest of this picture relatively quickly. We got the oldest item, upper left. There are three projectile points next to it. They are somewhat young, or somewhat less old. Or they're old, but they're not as old as the one on the far left.
That's correct. The two in the center of the upper row are what we call Orient Fishtails, another name. Actually, the Orient site is down on Long Island. That was the first place they're found, and therefore they have that name. And in the upper right hand, that is actually an arrow point. It's a triangle. They have different names, Levana or Madison. In this case, this is probably actually associated with the Mohawk era component that we found at the site, and that's better illustrated by this ceramic
stuff that we'll get
fragments that are in the other picture.
All right, we'll speak of those in a moment. Maybe just to establish that old point, like 5,000 years ago, it wasn't actually the Mohawk Nation. I mean, it was some ancient people that were here.
That's correct. As far as the direct association with the Mohawk people, we know that they're Native Americans. Whether or not they were actually who European settlers met as the Mohawk, there's some question. That's an open question. We don't know how closely they might be related.
But the upper right picture is an arrow point, and that was Mohawk.
Yes, that's correct.
And down below, you've got the other, on this, again, the picture number one, you've got other projectile points. And again, we're going back to before the, like, several thousand years? Or?
Yeah, these would be about 3,500 years old.
Okay. Now, the other picture we posted, and there are other pictures, I mean, there are other objects they found, but we just posted two. The other picture we posted on the website is from the Mohawk era, I believe. Well, I should ask you, how old are they? And this is not chert. This is something completely different.
No, these are ceramics. These are made of a clay that is tempered with small pieces of rock. And one of the reasons why, if you make clay pots and then fire them without the temper, they have a very good chance of breaking. It's difficult to control sort of as the water is heated and removed from the clay. That's what makes it hard. It's the same way that you make mm-hmm. bricks, another ceramic product. You have to put that in there so that the pots don't crack and they stay complete.
And if people are with us on the website, with these, even these small, these three fragments of pots or whatever, I mean, you see design, right? Is there, or do you not?
Oh, that's correct. They were decorated. What you can see are incised lines that were probably made with a tool. Some of the more crescent-shaped impressions that you see may have been made with a fingernail or another sort of curved tool. And the decorations are very important. Just like with projectile points, and as you can see, there's a variety of shapes there that we can associate with particular time periods. With ceramics, we see that these decorative motifs change over time. And the kind of decorative motifs that we see give us a good indication of how old they are.
Mm. And it's interesting to me, as with the bow and arrow, that, you know, it's, you know, and I guess that's something that never occurred to me. You know, some, I mean, the bow and arrow, you know, wasn't like automatic, you know, it had to be developed. And so did ceramics. I mean, ceramics comes along in a certain period in history.
That's correct. Ceramics date to more or less the period after about 2900 years ago. So less than 3,000 years is the period that ceramics are found in New York State.
And I must say, these are beautiful pictures, you know, so well done, but I mean, you would expect your professional organization. And there are other things you found of a much more recent vintage. You found items from the time of the, you know, after Europeans got here, from like the 1700s, 1800s, and so forth?
That's correct. Actually, above, I guess maybe it's a chance here to talk about the site itself and one of the reasons why it's so interesting. Amsterdam is an industrial city on the river. In many cases, the riverfront property has been built over with factories, essentially excavations for foundation footers and basements and all of the things that go along with industrial expansion that typically occurred in the 19th and 20th centuries, often more or less destroys the evidence of sites that we have like this. And in this particular case, that development occurred sort of on top of what was there without significant disturbance to what was already there.
Mm.
Therefore, we have a site preserved and then later historic component is what we call on top of that.
Huh. So you're saying that it's unusual? I mean, you haven't found this, let's say, in Utica or other places along the river, you know, where the ancient stuff is still there?
It's well, certainly sites like this are unusual, but as I said, where you have extensive urban development, it's often extremely difficult to find preserved sites of this age simply because so much has gone on through the 19th and 20th centuries, buildings and demolition and all the various things that happened. So it's, for instance, in Albany is a very large town. There's relatively little of this left.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. Now, again, we're talking with Del Gould of the Lewis Berger Group, which is an archaeology firm. Is that what your company does?
Actually, yes. It's a multidisciplinary firm based out of Morristown, New Jersey. And the firm actually handles a lot of different things, engineering, environmental work, mm-hmm. and cultural resources is one of the things that we do, yes.
And back to some general questions about the, you know, this work was done preparatory to construction of the pedestrian bridge, and Del Gould has indicated, as far as the archaeology is concerned, he believes this is not going to, these finds, which are still ongoing, or the digging will still continue, will not delay the bridge, if that was your fear, or perhaps that was your hope, if you're listening. But what's happened to this material, these objects? And again, we only have put on our website two of your slides. You have a number of things. I know the line that I've seen in my friend Ed Munger's story in the Daily Gazette, that these objects were sent to someplace in Iowa to be studied or something like that. Is that true? Or where were they? Where in Iowa? What in Iowa, Scott?
Actually, that's we work for the Cultural Resource Group within the company. That's our centralized archaeological laboratory.
Oh. So it's your company's lab?
Yes, yes. Actually, our company, we recover the artifacts from a site. They're cleaned, processed, and analyzed in conjunction with the people that excavated the artifacts. As far as that goes, we work in a number of different places, and so therefore local expertise is often very helpful to them. So we work in conjunction as far as what we're looking at and the things that they have, and that's where we do it. It actually ends up being a very more affordable and efficient, simply because we are a large company. So they're currently in Iowa. Processing of these artifacts is ongoing. Yeah, that's where we're at with that.
Well, let me see. A call is poured in, and we do have to take the news break in a moment. We'll see if we can answer this quickly. If not, we'll hang on through the news. Good morning. You're on WVTL-FM.
Hi, Bob. It's Rob Von Hassel. How are you?
Good. And Rob Von Hassel is the city historian of Amsterdam.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Del. I have so many questions, I don't even know where to start. How would you typify the kind of or the length of the Native American residence there? Are we talking seasonal hunting camp, travel, or something more than we've realized in the past in terms of permanence?
Well, we're not really sure. One of the things about what we've found, particularly with the Mohawk component, is that there's not a great deal of information that's available concerning Mohawk components along the river. We know that they had large villages on elevated landforms that are up above creeks and sort of located away from the river. But there's still one of the reasons why we don't know is that so much development has occurred along the river in this part of the Mohawk.
So it's possible that Mohawks were down by the river, were living there more than we thought. And maybe this is an indication of that?
It's certainly possible. It's certainly possible. Because the age of the things that we've found, and we didn't find any specifically European trade goods, the age of the ceramics, and this has actually been sort of passed around with a couple of additional archaeologists, we think that the Mohawk era component is about 1500 A.D., and therefore, it's before Europeans arrived. There were a lot of changes to Mohawk culture after Europeans arrived, as you well know, the beaver trade, as well as conflict with other native groups that was sort of encouraged by European settlers as part of the beaver pelt trade. So sort of those changes that we know from historical documentation, one of the things that this site may be able to tell us is sort of what was sort of the status of Mohawk settlement systems prior to the beaver trade and how much it changed.
Okay. And, Rob, if you can bear with us, we do need to take our news break, and then we'll continue with Del Gould, who is archaeologist. He was supervisor or is supervisor. And one thing I really didn't realize, he said this is will be an ongoing project, the Amsterdam Archaeology Dig in connection with the construction of a pedestrian bridge. Time now for the news. Then we continue on the morning show, 9:30.
We're the new light, 104.7 FM, W284BZ, and 1570 AM, WVTL Amsterdam. Light, 104.7.